Good morning. I have two items on my agenda this morning. The first item is in reference to the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. You may or may not recall, we actually have two contracts that makes up the construction for the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. As it turned out, Bunning and Murray Construction was the low bidder on both contracts. They have finished contract number one. Contract number two remains under construction. It'll be sometime probably in an April time frame before that contract is finished, and at that point we'll open up the sewer district to allow all connections to begin. We have allowed some hardship connections to occur in the interim. For contract number one, the date of substantial completion was determined to be September 23. And if there aren't any questions, I have a motion I can read.
Okay.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants, Whitman Reckwart and Associates, LLP, and the County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective September 23, 2010 for Sussex County Contract 0809, Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District, the Bunning and Murray Construction Corporation, and that final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve a motion read by Mr. Izzo. What were the amounts that are part of that contract that will be released?
As far as the retainage that we are holding that we're going to release, or the total contract itself?
I'm wondering about how the contract came in.
It was around $3.5 million. Both contracts were very similar. It's about $7 million in total construction.
This was 4.1.
This was 4.1, and I think the other one was about 3. Is that correct, Sue?
Yep, 3.9.
Motion and a second. No further discussion.
I have Mr. Wilson. Here. Why is Whitman and Reckwart? Do we have anybody else to bid on this as far as engineering?
We had selected them to do the work in the South Coastal planning area. I forget what year it was, but it covered the work in the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. More recently, we've been, you know, going through a rotation process with Whitman. Reckwart has, you know, cooperated with that. For example, they had the Oak Orchard Sewer District contracts, and they gave those up to allow us to employ more of our local engineers.
Now, this company's out of Baltimore, right?
That is correct. But they have a lot of local people that also work for them as well.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Mike, and some of the work I've looked at, and you know I've fussed about it a little bit, I'm not confident in all their work and their engineering, so I recommend that we look around, see if we can find some other engineers, let them bid on this jobs or whatever, however we get it. That's my personal feeling about them.
Is it, Sam, is it the work or the, I mean,
the engineering, they're doing some poor engineering, my personal opinion.
Okay.
And I've looked at some of the work they're doing, some of the engineering they're doing.
Well, they don't do much of the work. I mean, they just do the draw up the plans, right?
We actually think they do high quality work at a good price as far as the engineering.
That comes back to personal opinions again. Yeah. Well, that's your opinion, that's my opinion. My opinion thinks they're not doing a good job. I think they're costing a lot of money when you shouldn't be spending it. And I found some faults, you know, in some of the work they've done down in the inland bays. I think it's very poor work. Very poor engineering, frankly.
That's probably a point well noted, but one that's saved for another day for further discussion.
I think so, too. I said no.
Any further discussion on this particular motion? Now we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. My next item is in regards to the Old Woodland Golf Site, which we had acquired to make use of as a dredge disposal site in the future. Late this summer, I was contacted by the Susquehanna Retrievers Club, and some of their members had sort of been making use of the site kind of on their own. They go out there and train dogs. I don't think they had any formal permission, so they brought it to our attention once we acquired the site. And
the previous owner, is it?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. Is Mr. Bob Tebbins here? They can probably speak better to how they actually arrived at the site. Nonetheless, they approached me and said, you know, is there a possibility that we could do something formal as far as leasing the site? And we began a discussion and a document was put together. What we're proposing is a one-year lease for the Woodlands Golf Site. It would run from January 1, 2011 to December 31, 2011. Kind of like a trial and see how it works. And just some of the points of the proposed lease, the Susquehanna Retriever Club shall use the property for training and trailing of its hunting dogs. It will not hinder our ability to move forward with planning for the site, as you know, as far as its proposed use as a dredge disposal site. Sussex County does retain the use of the property if we wanted to allow someone else to make use of the site at the same time, as long as it could be cooperatively done. There are 2 weeks in September where they have some intense training, and they would be allowed the exclusive use of the property. In exchange for use of the property, the Susquehanna Retriever Club will provide mowing services to maintain the foot and vehicle traffic throughout the site. And last mowing season, we incurred about $2,400 for us, you know, contracting out that service. And they have provided the proper insurance coverage. I don't know if you have any questions for the members that are here. If not, I have a motion.
Could you first? Well, go ahead.
Some of the members are here.
Yes.
Back here, I think. Just clarify the that they're going to allow the county. The county retains the right to use the property and or right. Allow other groups to use the property. If a local hunting club, like we've done with other things, as soon as it gets published, you're going to say, hey, you know, we didn't know about that. Anyway, so if you're approached by a hunting club, are you allowed to say, okay, you can have limited access to this?
If we could, yeah, I think if we could talk to the members and there would be a time frame where a hunting club could make use of it and not conflict with their particular use, and we would gain benefit. I think that's worthy of discussion.
Yeah, let one of them come down. Maybe we can ask, because I'm just...
Or both of you come on down.
Yeah, come on down.
All of you come down.
If you would, Bob, identify yourself for the record.
I'm Bob Tebbins, resident of Seaford.
I'm Frank Durham. I'm the president of Susquehanna Retriever Club.
Tell us what happens. What do you intend to do? Just give us a quick, not real long.
We just like to use it to train our retrievers on.
How often do you use it on a monthly basis?
Probably 5 days a week. We train. Some of
people
us are professional.
People will be out there 5 days a week, year round. You're
at
saying?
Least
potentially.
Yeah, some
okay,
of us
okay,
potentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it almost sounded like you really don't do much, and then 2 weeks comes along, you're out there for 2 weeks. It's
well,
like
for
summer,
that 2 week
summer
period,
camp in the National Guard.
For that 2 week period, we're hosting the largest retriever trial in the country.
Sam's good at retrievers.
So what we would do is we would like to use that for pre-trial training.
Okay.
For the last week of September.
Will use it a lot. Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's okay.
Some of us in the club are professional trainers. That's all we do for a living. That's all I do is train dogs for a living.
And I'm actually the one that I live in Malahorn Crest, half mile down the road, and I had obtained permission from the previous owner. I've trained there several times, and I brought this to the attention of the club that we need to look into this.
So the benefits to the county will be that we won't have to maintain it.
As far as the grass goes, yeah.
Okay, so that's about $2,500 a year we're looking at. Right. But then other than that, there's no other fees that the county accepts from.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
So how many acres are you mowing?
I'm sorry?
How many acres do you mow?
Well, the whole site's about 40 acres, but
we're not mowing the whole thing.
No, right.
Just
right.
Paths. No.
Just walking paths.
About an acre or something?
Probably an acre, maybe.
A couple acres.
Yeah,
you're talking more, 5 acres.
Yeah.
5-6 acres at the most.
Yeah.
What is the consideration for the lease? Is it they're going to mow some?
They're going to mow these footpaths and.
Any other consideration? That's it.
Should be a dollar or something, at least a dollar. Shouldn't there be a. Some kind of, like she says, a consideration meaning money?
I understand.
like a dollar?
Mr. Moore?
But that's it.
Mr. Rutt had reviewed the...
Okay, I don't know. Well, I'm just... Now, is there any shooting going on?
Yes, sir.
There's shooting? Okay, shooting.
There will be blanks, just blank guns.
Okay, no real live ammo?
No real live ammo.
Okay, so is that in the lease here somewhere that we, Mike?
I don't think we wrote in anything, any prohibitions about shooting. I actually wasn't sure.
Well, I'm just thinking about, if they say they don't need live ammunition, I'm just thinking neighbors in the area, if they hear about all this activity out there, and it might be a peace of mind that they find out that it's not live ammo.
Right.
And the other thing is, if you're out there 5 days a week, are you shooting 5 days a week, just all day long?
Yes, sir. Well, it's not all day long. No. I mean, you know, you'll go in there, they'll be... Yeah.
Well, again, I'm just thinking about what's going to happen is if there's a lot of it, neighbors are going to...
We did write in language that there would be no nuisance caused from their activities as far as the neighborhood was concerned.
But there is some nuisance activity there, we can go back and negotiate with them about...
Again, that's why we are sort of interested in a one-year lease to kind of see how it worked and see if it, you know, was a positive thing for the county and for the club.
And keep in mind also that bordering this property to the west is a hunt club.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you a member of this club, Mike?
Me? No.
You're asking me. I'm not.
Do you have a motion, Mike?
I have a motion.
Yeah, I'm just, anybody, there's no concern about live ammo or anything like that?
No.
Okay. All right.
Be it moved based upon a recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves the agreement with the Susquehanna Retriever Club for the lease of parcel 531-1521.01 for the training and trailing of hunting dogs for a one-year period beginning January 1, 2011.
So moving.
Second, please.
Second.
Any discussion? Eva?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yep, you're welcome.
Happy hunting. Mr. Lang.
Morning.
Go, Sam.
We have several items of old business this morning.
I think I only brought one copy of the lease.
First two items were brought before you last week on December 7th. Action was deferred for a legal opinion on whether ordinances can be sent back to the ad hoc committee. And rather than read a recommendation, I think we need to resolve that issue first.
All right. Mr. Moore.
Yes, there was a public hearing. The public hearing record was closed. And I believe it is improper to have any additional testimony or input after the public hearing is closed and the record is closed. Mm-hmm. So under the county policy, it says following the public hearing, the county council may A, adopt the ordinance as introduced, B, adopt the ordinance with amendments, C, place the ordinance on the table prior to voting, or D, reject the ordinance. If there is any, and then go to state law, and under state law, if there's any amendments to it, it has to be, those amendments have to be included in the title itself. There were some amendments proposed by planning and zoning. Mr. Robertson and I both agree that those are amendments that are contained within the title itself. So the amendments that were proposed by planning and zoning would also be acceptable.
So it could be tabled, but not for the purposes of having it go back to the ad hoc committee.
That is correct. Or any other testimony. You cannot have any other. If you're going to do that, if you decide that you're going to not vote on it, and if you want to bring the matter up at some other point, if you vote on it, it cannot be after additional discussion here before you or that's given to you, or someone could come in with a new ordinance, you know, and propose new ordinance. If you propose a new ordinance at that point, it would need to be advertised in the and follow the procedure set forth not only by state statute but also our policies.
Well, if we pass it and then the ad hoc committee wants to make some changes at a later time, we can propose a new ordinance.
Oh, absolutely.
Or amendment to it.
If this were passed, there is nothing that stops the county council from bringing up new ordinances mm-hmm. at any point. Mm-hmm. The ad hoc committee can't make right. the ordinances. Obviously, that would come from the county council.
Of course, but we could propose an amendment to the ordinance if the ad hoc committee has found that's something that they would like to do. And it's agreed by all members.
Right. Mm-hmm. Any council member can introduce an ordinance, and then it would be advertised mm-hmm. And go through the process.
Mr. Cole, have you any opinion on this?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
No, not really. I mean, I think we've talked about it.
Mr. Wilson, before we try to move forward on this, have you any thoughts?
I'm just trying to think how I would say it. No, maybe I should just follow what Mike said.
Save, you got you say
this is your time.
I'm thinking that sometimes these footprints and things we should maybe leave them like they are and stop making a big ado out of it. If you understand what I'm saying here.
Mr. Link, how does this affect the footprint?
Well, the ordinances go back to the first ordinance relates to manufactured homes as conditional uses. It becomes the conditions oriented around a conditional use process, which requires setbacks and spacing between improvements on neighboring lots.
We have spent a lot of time, and I guess all kinds of hearings and courts and over somebody that took a building down and put another one up. And my opinion, I think it should have been solved between probably the park owner and the person that put the building up or that lives out on that lot. They had the agreement to start with the park owner. And I just can't see why we had so much to say about it over an 8x10 building that was already a footprint there.
Well, the first.
I'm not sure that we shouldn't. Go ahead.
I could say the first ordinance, isn't this the emergency ramps?
Makes reference to.
Pardon me?
Steps and handicap ramps.
Yeah.
It includes that. Yeah. It also makes reference to accessory buildings.
So a synopsis would be what of this now? Give us a quick synopsis of what we got now.
Well, we went through the process of ad hoc committee, mm-hmm. which is all going to be generated anyway.
Right.
And then we had to go through a public hearing process, and we held public hearings, and the commission, there were four ordinances at that time. Two of the ordinances got adopted a few months ago, and the other two were sent back for consideration through the commission okay. for discussion purposes. The commission made a recommendation, and the council has been tabled since October 14th, basically.
Okay, and this will make a shed. Now, how's this changing? Just tell me again today.
We've created new sections of the code,
right,
to provide for, which will be part of my motion, but it relates to existing accessory buildings, mm-hmm. And there are dimensions. Make of the same dimension may be replaced in the same location if the accessory building was previously permitted by the county, mm-hmm. because it was questioning who permitted it. So we aided by Sussex County. Mm-hmm. And if authorized by park management, also aided. The whole section is being added.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it was unclear who granted a previous permit.
Okay.
The next section relates to temporary handicap ramps, because right. there have been ramps placed, and there was discussion that the ramps were being placed and the ramps were being built without meeting any kind of code. But they weren't ADA specified or, you know, by federal code. Or building code, and we brought in that the temporary handicap ramp may be permitted for emergency needs upon receipt of an affidavit from a doctor. That was added mm-hmm. just to show proof there was a need for it.
Okay.
On an annual basis, and that an emergency situation exists, and that the ramp had the approval of park management, mm-hmm. the director of planning and zoning, and the county's chief of building code.
Okay, so now we don't need any surveys, none of this other stuff is all now been eliminated, right?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
No.
Okay.
It's not referenced.
No.
Okay, I mean, a lot of the complaints were that somebody had a shed, they want to put another shed. Now they still need to get a permit to do that shed, right?
Right, well, some of the good majority of the parks, it was difficult to find the monuments. We asked for surveys showing the monuments, and as the only way to do it was either get the park owner to monument everything for the pre-existing parks, or get the tenant or the park owner
Let me get my mind clear again. Just walk me through that. So I've got a shed, and it falls apart. I want to put a new shed in. Okay, and the park owner agrees, and I guess the owner or whatever, that's all they need is, right, the park owner, and the county is now out of the picture, right?
No.
No.
As long as you had a permit for the first shed.
Still have to have a permit for the first shed.
Replacing.
Okay.
How about if that's before the grandfather? I mean, how about if the grandfather then, before the
permit? If it was grandfathered in, then that could be a question that would be addressed.
Okay.
And you just get a permit to replace it.
But this ordinance doesn't permits do that.
There'll be a fee associated with the permit?
At minimum $750, could be more depending on the size.
But that way we can, that way it'll be on file and we can track what's on these properties, improvements that are on these in the park. Okay.
Right.
So still, people need to have a valid building permit for their original shed to do all
this. When they're replacing, yes, you had to have a permit to it. So the way it was intended.
But if they have all that, and they're put in the same place, they don't need any more surveys.
They get a replacement permit.
They just get a replacement permit for $7.50.
If they had a permit, the setbacks would have been correct. Did they place it correctly?
Okay, I got
that
you.
Becomes a problem. That's why he asked for a survey.
Right.
But this ordinance doesn't really address that. It addresses the neighboring, a building on the neighboring side.
It addresses a setback for the lot lines to the improvement, and also a separation between your improvements and the neighboring improvements, mm-hmm. if whatever is being built. Mm-hmm. The intent of the ordinance, presently the ordinance is questionable because it provides for 20-foot spacing between your mm-hmm. improvements and your neighboring improvements, mm-hmm. whether it be mobile to addition, mobile to accessory building. Or accessory building to accessory building. And what we tried to correct was taking out the 20-foot spacing between accessory building to accessory building. And now it's proposed that it be 10.
Mm-hmm. So it's easing up.
It meets the setback requirements and the spacing requirements not issued, it just has to maintain setbacks.
Well, it eases the burden on the tenant.
Sure will. It eliminates that 20-foot spacing shed,
yes.
Which is mm-hmm. almost impossible in some cases.
Mm-hmm. And you said they do not have to get a survey, is that correct?
No,
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
No,
I didn't think you did. That's why I asked you.
No, I didn't say that.
Now, what would trigger a survey again? Tell us what would trigger a survey in case.
In most of the older parks, pre-existing parks,
right,
don't have a lot of monumentation.
Right.
And a lot of them have monuments, but they're buried because you can't maintain the grass as well without
burying them.
Buried in almost. Some of the parks have metal detectors that they use to try to locate them. We even went out with metal detectors ourselves to try to establish some sections.
But if a park owner approves the a park owner approves the placement of a shed,
right,
and we don't know where any of these monuments are, and it does meet a setback from whatever these other buildings it's supposed to be from, why would we require a survey at that point?
But we have setback requirements that have to be met.
What I mean,
no matter what the park says.
And the other thing is that when we do all, even if we do all this, we're still sending inspectors out, right? After it's all said and done.
Right. We have setbacks to inspect, whether it be the 5-foot or the 10-foot. Some parks are different, and the 20-foot spacing is still required.
Well,
if we can't find monuments, then we can't verify setbacks.
Right. I've always been concerned, and I think the county's done a good job at this, is when we, you know, when somebody needs a service, you know, that individual pays for the bulk of that service. So when I see only $7.50 as a permit fee, and we start sending inspectors out, it gets to be...
The fees could be higher, but that's the minimum.
That's the minimum, okay. But still, I'm just saying it's not going to, an inspector coming, you know, a couple times to that site, it doesn't anywhere near get covered in their cost.
No, it doesn't cover the cost.
Yeah, okay.
But they're out there doing other things too, so they're multiple sites.
Lawrence, this has definitely been run through the ringer between the committee, P&Z. Your opinion is this is about as good as it's going to get?
No, it's never as good as you're going to get. This is what the commission's come down based on what we've heard so far through the public hearing, the ad hoc committee, the commission, public council, public hearing, the whole works. And this is a recommendation at this time. And as someone said earlier, we could, if we acted on it, we could still have another start all over and go at it one more time.
Sure.
But there, that's what you do. We've been doing it now since 1971. The ordinance has been totally amended three times. It has been amended on a regular basis, seems like, for since 71. I'll use that date.
Should we be going to the, maybe creating ordinances for older parks versus newer parks and identify what these older parks are and have a whole different set of rules? And then we could get away from this, because it seems like we're trying to come up with ordinances that cover both old and new, and that's the dilemma we're always faced with, because it's people in the olders that feel that they're getting shortchanged because of lack of monuments or lack of this or lack of something. Is maybe that what we should be doing, looking at separating the two? Because there's how many,
but I don't know that it's really necessary, because the ordinance already does separate.
Okay, well,
it changes the setback requirements. The real setback requirement, the older parks were 5 foot from all property lines, the newer parks are 10 foot from all property lines. The 20 foot spacing still applied. The change in the shed to shed issue helps the older parks more than the newer ones.
This will help the older parks more than the new.
Because you're taking 10 foot spacing away from shed to shed, you're going from 20 to 10.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's a helpful
thing. Well, that's,
should create less variances in the whole process.
Yes. So it makes it easier.
You could break it down and make it two different things. You end up adding a section to the non-conforming section where it relates to parks
Have two separate ordinances for the average person, you're not average, Lawrence, but for the average individual who doesn't look at this every day, they would easily be able to figure out what we're talking about. It's the overlapping of these things that gets me confused. I don't know about Sam, probably the only one here not confused.
As I said, the ordinance currently provides for two different sets of setback requirements based on old and new. If you had a non-conforming park fully developed, you could go with the old.
You can go with the 5 foot.
New park, you go with the 10.
Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing it out because it keeps, even as I hear it 10 times, I'm still not sure I know what I'm hearing. I don't know about Mike. He looks like the only one knows what's going on.
Mr. Vincent?
No, I do think that, and I agree, this anything can be changed. And maybe there's a need to go back and look at something between old and new. That could be a good conversation, maybe. But, I think this does make improvement over what it is today.
Right, we're going in the right direction.
I think we're going in the right direction. And we could choose that. If you choose just to do nothing, then we're going right back to ground zero with nothing being done. So people still got to come in and do this and come in and do that. It appears to me that we've got some improvement here. Yes. Can it be improved upon? Very likely.
Well, this last meeting of the year, Mr. Lank, if it's all right with the council, I'd like to ask him to read. You have a motion, Mr. Lank?
I have the motion prepared by the Planning and Zoning Commission based on each ordinance and the other three items.
Okay. If it's all right, we'd like to proceed. You'll need to make your presentation based upon us proceeding to vote on the ordinance as it's currently presented.
An old business agenda item. You can defer it again, or
I think we're going to at least attempt to get a motion and a second to move forward with a vote today. If not, then we'll turn.
We're voting on this first one.
Yes.
What's the first one about?
I have to read it.
Yes, he has to read it.
Sorry, Sue. She don't like to hear me read. First ordinance amendment is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 24, 115-172G, relating to conditional uses regarding manufactured homes. Before you have a report of the Commission's actions, on September 23rd, the Commission did hold a public hearing and deferred action for further consideration and to allow the Commission time to review the testimony and the minutes of the Manufactured Housing Committee. On October 14, 2010, the commission discussed this ordinance amendment under old business. Mr. Johnson expressed some concern about immediate removal of ramps when an emergency no longer exists. Mr. Robertson stated that during the public hearing, there was a lot of comments about more definition and clarity regarding ramps for emergency needs, that he has reviewed the record and would like to suggest some revisions that include clarification that the county is who granted the prior permit, referenced in Section 13, that there was testimony from the audience about permits from home dealers, park owners, and the county, and who had ultimate authority. That for clarity, the ordinance needs to address the words temporary and for emergency needs in Section 14. That since this proposed section exempts such ramps from setback and lot coverage requirements for emergencies, the audience commented that it should state more clearly that it is for emergency purposes only. That he also suggests that a phrase requiring a doctor's note be a basis for the handicap ramp, that he suggests similar language to what currently exists in the code for medical hardship extensions, and that he suggests that the ordinance include a sentence at the end of Section 14 requiring that the ramp be removed if the emergency need no longer exists, since the use was only intended to be temporary. Mr. Robertson offered the following reasons for consideration should the commission decide to recommend approval of this ordinance amendment. One, this amendment is the result of meetings and recommendations from a manufactured housing committee that including representatives from the county, park owners, and homeowners. Two, this amendment clarifies regulations regarding accessory buildings and manufactured home parks and adds code language addressing the construction location and dimensions of unenclosed steps, landings, and handicap ramps, providing access to mobile homes, which had previously been subject to size and lot coverage limitations that were often unreasonable. Three, it is recommended that Section 2, creating a new subparagraph 13 of Section 115-172G of the Code, be amended in the last sentence to read, and I quote, an existing accessory building of the same dimension may be replaced in the same location if the accessory building was previously permitted by Sussex County and if authorized by the park management. As currently worded, it is unclear who may have granted the previous permit. Four, it is recommended that Section 2, creating a new subparagraph 14 of Section 115-172G of the Code, be amended to insert the word temporary prior to the words handicap ramps throughout the subparagraph, and by adding the words for emergency needs after the words handicap ramps in the first line of the subparagraph. And it would be A, it is recommended that the fourth sentence of new subparagraph 14 be amended so that it states as follows, and in quotes, temporary handicap ramps may be permitted for emergency needs upon receipt of an affidavit from a doctor on an annual basis that an emergency situation exists and shall be subject to the approval of park management, the director, and the county's chief of public or building code, excuse me. And five, it is recommended that a new sentence be added at the end of new subparagraph 14 to state, and I quote, a temporary handicap ramp permitted under this subparagraph shall be removed if the need for it no longer exists. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission adopt a motion suggested by Mr. Robertson. There was a motion and a second, and carried with four votes to forward this ordinance amendment to council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved with the referenced amendments noted. Motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Ross not voting since he was not present during the public hearing. That's all I have on this
one. Okay. To keep moving forward with a possible vote, we would ask our county attorney to read the title.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 24, Section 115-172G, related to conditional uses regarding manufactured homes, as amended by recommendations of planning and zoning.
I'll entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance. Is there a discussion before we take the vote?
One last thing on the handicap ramps. People can build
a handicap ramp that would be permanent? As long as
it's good.
Right.
If it meets setback requirements.
Right, meets the setbacks, okay, right. Because having a handicap ramp sometimes is a nice feature that when they're trying to sell a house. Okay, good. All right.
Well, this ordinance was actually, as far as public safety is concerned, I think it offers us a lot more safety to the way these are built.
Mm-hmm. Well, just for example, it was reported by Andy Wright from Building Code that some of the ramps, and one of the residents that lives in Camelot, I believe, that some of the ramps aren't being built to code. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't have guardrails.
Railings.
Mm-hmm. Railings or whatever.
Yeah.
So there was some issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there's no more discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Well, I originally come in here wanting to defer this, but that was for the purpose of it going back to the ad hoc committee. And their county attorney advises us that that would require a brand new hearing. And so I will vote yes on this ordinance.
Mr. Wilson.
As a small park owner, which I own about a dozen homes, I feel that this is no conflict of interest. And I believe it's a much improvement for our tenants in these mobile homes. And so I vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Benson.
I think we have made some progress in things we've been asked to do by people in the parks. And I'll vote yes.
I'll vote yes as well. And I would like to also add that I'm sure the council and the administration will keep an open mind as we move into next year to the possibility of reconvening an ad hoc committee if issues come up that are, you know, blatantly obvious in need of amending. Motion carried.
The next ordinance is an ordinance amendment to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 27, 115-211, relating to variances. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on September 23rd of 2010 and did defer action for further consideration by the commission and for Mr. Robertson to research the drafting of this ordinance amendment, and that motion carried 4-0. On October 14th of 2010, the commission discussed this ordinance under old business. Mr. Robertson stated that during the public hearing, there was a lot of comments about the ordinance amendment and that the intent of this ordinance amendment was primarily building separation, and that there is a need to clarify the intent of the ordinance amendment, that he tried several ways of inserting wording and found it difficult to do so, so that he had proposed to rewrite to insert reference to separation and previously permitted by Sussex County, and rearranging it so that the amendment makes sense, that since the intent is the same and the words are basically the same but in a different order, it does not require the ordinance amendment to be re-advertised and run through hearings again. Mr. Robertson offered the following reasons for consideration should the commission decide to recommend approval of this amendment. One, this amendment is a result of meetings and recommendations from a manufactured housing committee that included representatives from the county, park owners, and homeowners. Two, the amendment clarifies that a neighbor to a property that has received an approved variance for the location of an accessory building does not need to apply for his or her own variance when he or she replaces their own accessory building with one of the same size and as long as other setback requirements are met. Three, this recommendation is subject to the following suggestions. A, there is an apparent typographic error in section one. It should refer to section 115-211, not section 115-121, as currently worded. The heading of the ordinance correctly refers to section 115-211. B, council should consider inserting the words as previously permitted by Sussex County to the ordinance. This would make it consistent with the requirements of the ordinance amendment for conditional use manufactured homes, which allows the replacement of an existing accessory building, but only if it was previously permitted by Sussex County. C, because this amendment still requires all setback requirements to be met and only avoids the need for variance regarding building separation, this should be clarified. D, it is requested or suggested that the amendment be redrafted to incorporate these changes so that it now reads as follows. H, in a manufactured home park, if an adjoining site received a variance for building separation from Sussex County, No variance for building separation caused by the adjoining site's variance shall be required for the replacement of an existing accessory building previously approved by Sussex County, as long as all setback requirements are met and the replacement structure is of the same size and on the same footprint. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission adopt a motion suggested by Mr. Robertson. There was a motion second and carried with four votes to forward this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved with the reference amendments noted. Motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Ross not voting since he was not present during the public hearing. That's all I have.
Okay. Anything from council before I ask our attorney to read the title? Mr. Moore.
Well, it just looks to me like it makes it easier on the homeowner.
Again, it'll eliminate some variance requirements.
Okay.
Right.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 27, Section 115-211 relating to variances as amended by Planning and Zoning.
I'll entertain that motion.
You got it?
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the ordinance amendment as read by Mr. Moore. Any further discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Well, again, I'm sympathetic with some people's wishes to have me make a motion to defer this, but I do think it's a good ordinance. I think it makes it easier for the homeowners. And if I had moved to defer, it would have been to send it back to the ad hoc committee, which is not advised by the county attorney, so I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Seems to me we have helped the homeowners in some areas here, so I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. I think it's a good thing that the council, from time to time, take a look at our codes and see if there is opportunity to deregulate. Motion carried.
The next item on the agenda is conditional use number 1833, application of David O. Rickards to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an assembly plant with underwater turbines to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 15.38 acres more or less, lying southeast of Road 367B, also known as Rickards Road, 2,230 feet northeast of Road 370, also known as Daisy Road. Before you have a copy of the report from the Planning and Zoning Commission. On June 10th, 2010, the Commission held public hearing on this application and did defer action for further consideration. On June 24th of 2010, the Commission discussed this application under old business and deferred action since Mr. Ross was present during the public hearing, since Mr. Ross was absent this evening, and to allow Mr. Ross to participate in the discussion of this application when a decision is rendered. On July 14th of 2010, the Commission again discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would not be participating in the discussion of this application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of conditional use 1833 for David O. Rickards for the following reasons. One, the application is inconsistent with the character of the surrounding property, which is primarily agricultural and residential. The type of activity to be carried on at this location is more appropriate for an industrial park setting. Two, the operation of the business will generate truck traffic, which is unsuitable for modest rural roads. Three, approval of this application would lead to increased traffic and activity in an otherwise quiet farming and residential setting. Four, the applicant already operates a related business at the former Newton's facility, and there is no reason to believe that the activities contemplated by this application could not be conducted in that same location. Rather, it appears that the proposed activity is intended to substitute for the applicant's loss of a poultry contract and is not one of which there is a public need at this location. Five, the proposed use is not of a public or semi-public character and is not essential for the general convenience and welfare of the community. There was a motion, second, and carried 3-1 to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. Motion carried 3-1 with Mr. Ross opposing the motion, Mr. Johnson did not vote since he was not in attendance during the public hearing. That's all I have.
Any questions from council? Okay.
They turned it down because of traffic? Is that one of the reasons?
No. Yes, sir.
No, was it?
It was a...
Increased traffic and activity, otherwise at quiet farming and residential setting.
If you go down there, it's a manufacturing operation, and it just, you know.
Actually, they said they don't manufacture them. They're going to manufacture them in Newton's.
Any more questions, council?
And also says that the traffic will be not as high as poultry house operation that exists. It just seems like a little contradictory here is what I was looking at.
Well, if you go down there and you look at the area, it's pretty residential. Okay. And it doesn't really complement agriculture. I mean, we're supposed to look in these ag residential areas to complement agriculture, and this application really doesn't do that.
More questions of council?
No.
All right, then, Mr. Moore, would you read the...
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an assembly plant for underwater turbines to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 15.38 acres, more or less.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance. Any questions on the motion? Any comments from council?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
My vote is no. I'm going to go along with the advice from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and my reasons are the same five reasons that they gave for their denial, recommendation for denial.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Cole.
I'll support P&Z's recommendations and vote no.
Phillips.
Yes.
I agree that the area down there I don't think is real conducive for this. I agree with Planning and Zoning's recommendations. I'll vote no. Motion does not pass.
The next application under old business is conditional use 1838. The application of Brian L. White and Lisa D. White to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a well drilling business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6 acres, more or less, lying west of Road 279, also known as Camp Arrowhead Road, 390 feet north of Road 277, also known as Angola Road. Again, before you have a copy of the report of the commission. On July 8th of 2010, the commission held a public hearing on this application and did defer action for further consideration. On August 12 of 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1838 for Brian L. White and Lisa L. White for a well drilling business based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact on traffic. Two, as stated by the applicants, most of the work associated with the conditional use occurs off-site. As a result, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, the use will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Three, the use will provide a service to Sussex County residents that meet the need for well drilling services. Four, this use is an appropriate one within an agriculture residential district. Five, the applicants reside on the premise and will maintain a predominantly residential character and appearance. Six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the hours of operation shall be from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, with the exception of emergencies. B, there shall be no signage on the site advertising the business. C, any security lighting shall be installed on buildings and shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. D, the area for a dumpster shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways, and the location of the dumpster shall be shown on the final site plan. E, any outside storage shall be limited to racks for piping and a concrete pad for the storage of sand. The location of the pipe racks and concrete pad shall be shown on the final site plan. F, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, carried 4 votes to none, with Mr. Ross not participating, to forward this application to council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0 with one not voting.
Anything from council before we ask Mr. Moore to read the title? Mr. Moore?
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for a well drilling business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 6.0 acres more or less, subject to the following conditions stipulations. A, the hours of operation shall be from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, with the exception of emergencies. B, there shall be no signage on the site advertising the business. C, any security lighting shall be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that it's not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. D, the area for a dumpster shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways, and the location of the dumpster shall be shown on the final site plan. E, any outside storage shall be limited to racks for piping and a concrete pad for the storage of sand. The location of the pipe racks and concrete pad shall be shown on the final site plan. F, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
With the conditions.
I have a motion and a second to adopt conditional use 1838. Any discussion?
It's one thing, Vance. The time thing again. You see that, George, the time?
And
the reason I'm saying that is because it said here the adverse effect won't be because of leaving early and getting back late. We're not having that respect on the highways or traffic.
Right, I understand.
And here we turn around and we put a time in this thing. I don't understand.
Well, sometimes, as I alluded to earlier, sometimes if they've got a lot of residential development, these are residential districts that we're permitting commercial activity in.
Okay.
And I think we got to weigh out sometimes, is there, you know, does the area lean more towards residential? We need to protect the residential people in these agricultural residential districts from commercial activity. So sometimes there's nothing anywhere near around it. I can understand, you know, that the hours or if the property owner owns a lot. Now, this is a 6-acre site, and they have plenty of opportunity, hopefully through site plan approval process, that they can be.
Does that mean the trucks can't pull out before then?
No, I don't know. This does have a 6-acre site, and I concur that maybe it's not necessary to put time. So I'll agree that maybe we could strike it in this one because there is a lot of development on Camp Arrowhead Road, but with 6 acres, they have ample protection from the neighbors. So I don't see a big issue with it on this one. But.
Okay.
So I could go either way on it, really. I didn't think they had objected to it. I think that was part of their presentation, wasn't it, Lawrence?
It was part of their presentation.
It was their part of it. So I don't, you know, if it was part of their presentation, I.
We'll have to harsh time, please, aren't we?
Well, we could. I mean, we have a lot of them out there with time, but.
Okay.
I just say, since they agreed with it, I don't see it being a big issue. Mm-hmm.
They offered it.
They offered it. Right.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to approve the conditional use with the stipulations as presented by planning and zoning. Any further discussion?
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips, was there an actual motion and a second? Because I believe Mr. Wilson spoke right after I read that. I'm not sure.
I think I made a motion to adopt.
He made a motion. I made a second.
Okay.
We didn't do it. Okay.
I wanted to be sure.
I knew one of us was losing our mind.
Now he opened for discussion.
Thought it was me.
I'm the older.
I really thought it was me. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes, and going along with the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation and for the reasons set out by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on the same reasons P&Z and I see here that actually no adverse effect on anything, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Mr. Cole.
Well, due to this, the fact that the site, that the White Zone is a 6-acre site, that will lessen the impacts on any immediate neighbors because there's plenty of opportunity to buffer their use from residential uses in the area. And they will be living on site, so it'll still be maintained as a residential site. So with planning and zoning's recommendations, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Recommendation of planning and zoning, and I agree with the conditions and stipulations placed, I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. It's very low impact, good for the economy. Motion carried.
The last item under old business is change of zone number 1688. It's the application of Harry Caswell Incorporated to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR General Residential District to a GRRPC General Residential District Residential Plan Community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, land lying north of Route 297, also known as Mount Joy Road, 0.8 mile east of Route 30, and being west of Oak Street, a subdivision street, to be located on 22.66 acres, more or less. Again, you have before you a copy of the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing. It was similar to the public hearing addressed before council. On July 8th of 2010, the commission deferred action for further consideration after holding public hearing. On August 12th of 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that this application is basically a cluster-type subdivision and that the stipulation placed upon it, this project, could become viable. Mr. Smith stated that with the residential plan community overlay designation, the project will be more restrictive than a standard subdivision. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change zone 1688 for Harry Caswell Incorporated based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, this property is currently zoned GR, General Residential, and has had that zoning classification for many years. Under this application, the basic zoning and the density permitted under the GR zone will not change. Two, the project density is significantly less than the density permitted by the existing GR zoning. Three, the project will be a restricted residential development and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Four, the project will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, community facilities, or area roadways and public transportation. Five, the project will be served by a community wastewater system in accordance with all state and county requirements. Six, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, the RPC designation is appropriate since it allows the creation of a superior living environment through design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses, including the preservation of open space. Essentially, this is a cluster design subdivision with minimum lot sizes of at least 7,500 square feet. Because the property is zoned GR, the cluster option under the AR zoning is not available. Seven, the applicant has favorably addressed the items in section 99-9C of the subdivision code. And eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 37 lots within the subdivision. B, the applicant shall form a homeowners association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. D, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT requirements, and an area for a school bus stop shall be established. The location of the school bus stop shall be coordinated with the local school district. E, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. F, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. G, a buffer shall be shown along all boundaries. The final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for all the buffer areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffer areas. H, the developer shall maintain as many existing trees as possible. The undisturbed forested areas shall be shown on the final site plan. I, system of street lighting shall be established. J, sidewalks shall be located on both sides of all streets in the subdivision. K, the subdivision shall be served by a central sewer system as defined by Sussex County Engineering, designed in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Department and DENREC specifications. L, as stated by the applicant, the home shall be either modular or stick-built on site. No mobile homes shall be permitted. M, as required by DLDOT, access to the project shall be from Oak Street. The developer and then the Homeowners Association shall improve and maintain Oak Street from the entrance to the development to Oak Street's intersection with Mount Joy Road. And the developer and then the homeowners association shall improve, clean up, and maintain the portion of the parcel that fronts Mount Joy Road unless or until this area is deeded to someone else. And O, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, carried 4 votes to none, with Mr. Ross not participating, to forward this application to council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 4-0 with one not voting.
Mr. Lank, I believe in your reading on K, you indicated Sussex County Engineering on the first reference, where it was Sussex County Ordinance, then designed in accordance with Sussex County Engineering.
Okay, I'm sure.
All right. That is noted. Does council have any discussion before we ask our attorney to read the title?
So this is GR, Mr. Lank. It's already zoned GR.
Yes, it is.
So it could be developed.
Could be developed with the same or possibly more lots, depending on the design.
So it's a fait accompli. I mean, it's...
It would permit manufactured housing in the park, and the applicants chose not to permit any.
Mm-hmm.
Based on his testimony, right?
Okay.
Manufactured housing, including single wides, correct?
Yes, GR, so it would print single wide or double wide.
Or stick built home.
Or stick built or modular. GR permits anything single family.
Right. But we're looking at something better than that.
They're proposing to just do modular and stick built.
Modular and stick built. Mm-hmm.
As a requirement, as a condition.
And GR permits.
At their proper also.
Yeah, GR permits up to 4 units to the acre with sewer
infrastructure.
That's correct.
Yes, they could have had 22 times 4.
And this is 1.6 units per acre. And the basic of the land that they lost is based on the factor of putting in a central wastewater system on site.
Right. Mr. Moore, can you read the title, please?
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Residential District to a GRRPC General Residential District, residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 22.66 acres, more or less, subject to the following conditions read by Mr. Lank as A through O on pages 14 and 15 on the old business handout.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt change of zone 1688, application by Harry Caswell, Inc. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
I vote yes. This is actually an improvement over what the property is actually zoned for. So I believe that it's a very good idea, and I go along with the Planning and Zoning Commission's reasons and with the conditions.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on P&Z's recommendations.
Mr. Cole?
It's a GR district, which has been established there for many, many years, and this is a GR residential subdivision under conditional use with certain conditions, which will have a much lesser density than what is provided for. So I'll vote yes, and I also support the P&Z's commission's rationale.
Mr. Cole, I believe it was not a conditional use, change of zone with the
RPC. I'm sorry, change of zone, yes. I'll support the change of zone.
With the RPC, which allows for...
That is correct.
Types
with the conditions. Yeah. With the RPC, that's what I meant, I'm sorry.
Mr. Vincent.
Yes, it does allow it to be less dense than it could have been, which is a good thing. And based on planning zone recommendations, and I agree with their conditions, I vote yes.
Nothing against single-wide manufactured homes, but under the current zoning, it technically could have gotten up to 90 single-wides by limiting it. I believe the community is going to be more favorable. I also think that the location to the type of housing being modular or stick-built is an improvement for the community's sake. I vote yes. Motion carried. The conditions.
I got one question for Lawrence. It goes too far. I noticed that Mr. Ross is absent, all these that we just had today. Could somebody, is there a reason, is he Is he ever there?
Mr. Ross says commitments for, not the right way to put this. It's not on vacation. He's actually out there working based
National,
on previous.
National Soybean Board, of which he is giving up that position
This month.
This month, yeah.
After this month, you're seeing him on a regular basis.
All right, because if he wanted to be on this board, he needs to be there, and we need to have people that are participating, and it's obvious he's not participating. So, okay, I'm just curious.
No, it's the same thing.
So next year we will see a better attendance out of Mr. Ross.
That's what we anticipate.
Okay, we'll see.
Mr. Ross knows.
Well, Ms. Webb, Grant.
I'd like to see him show up.
Thank you.